Your brothers and sisters, peace to you. We thank him that we are able to come worship him on his resurrection Sunday. Brothers and sisters, we live in the last days of end times. People have heard the word and the gospel so much, sometimes they just don't take it seriously anymore. We know that Christ is coming very soon because of all the signs we see around us. There is corruption, numerous acts of lawlessness, and ever-increasing disasters, including wars, famine, plagues on the road. So what should we focus on as apples? What should I be aware of? We must prepare ourselves to be able to meet Christ. We must be saved and work on saving those around us through Christ. If we would like to have fruit of Christ in us, we must keep continue to spread the gospel. Preaching the gospel is very hard. People might be happy you do or say anything besides the gospel, then everyone is good. Sometimes when we try to tell someone the gospel, even if they're very close to the family, they will suddenly turn on us and reject us. Awesome. And what should we do in these this case? Let's bow our heads in prayer and let's speak. Lord, there are people worshiping you all over the place today. Let your heart, let our the word illuminate our hearts and be a light to our path. And give us direction. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why do so many people the urgency of spreading the gospel? They feel like they're content with being saved themselves, but they don't feel a heavy burden or responsibility to spread the gospel. Let me tell you a story. Do you remember the story of Abraham and Lot, his nephew? Abraham brought his nephew to the promised land of Canaan. The servants started to quarrel because these families, they did not have enough land for their livestock. It's that both Lot and Abraham were both wealthy and had a lot of riches and herders and animals. The riches caused them to disregard each other. Abraham says a lot. We too cannot quarrel with each other. Neither should our herdsmen, because we are relatives. But they said, we should go our separate ways. And Abraham says to let Lot pick first. He looked around and saw that the whole plain of Jordan towards Zoar was well watered. It was like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt and the Nile. So Lot himself, the whole plain of Jordan. And they set out towards the east. The Jordan was a place of wealth and fatness. The opposite was the west side. Have you ever been to the mountainside? It's very dry. And it's full of people. And there's a rain cannot reach these areas. They both stood on the high level of Beth. Abraham watched as Lot took a lush and fertile crimson. God thought to himself, I will be rich going into this sub-land. You remember the story of Abraham? He battled four kings and he won. Was more powerful than them. You see here that love not really loved the world. But unfortunately, he chose to go with the sin of Sodom and its people. We know that his wife became a pillar of salt, and all his wealth turned to ashes. This left Lot with nothing. On the other hand, Abraham did not become poor as a result. But he became the most blessed person of the time. Though they both stood on the same level that day, their visions were very different. One focused on the earthly things, the other on the heavenly things. The result. The results were drastically different for the two men. Both worshipped God, but because of the choice, Abraham's descendants were abundantly blessed. While Lot's descendants were cursed for many generations, the Bible says, no Ammonite or Moabite or any other descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord. Not even in the 10th generation. This is found in Deuteronomy 23:3. Today we see that the people of Jordan are descendants of Lot. It would be the sad thing that they should not enter into the presence of the Lord. You see an exception in Ruth. He also became a major part of the family line of David. Seeing that their decisions and their visions caused the different outcomes. Arise. This is worth reflecting on. Lot looked up and saw the whole plain of Jordan. This was well watered, like a garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of Jordan. Genesis 13, 10 to 11. Lot was made his choice. He did not consult God about what to choose, nor consider the moral decay of the land and its possible impact on his children and himself. He did not consider that the culture of his time would make it influence negatively on his children, and he was still considered righteous. He first saw that this place can make his children rich and powerful. His choice was entirely based on what he saw. And the world represents the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He entered into sin. Many people today resemble the ambitious lot on the heights of Bethel. Looking at all the empires and wealth of this world. The tempter whispered in their ears, "You bow down to me. This I will give to you." Because he says, "These are all mine." They put their ambitions and values in the wrong place. The devil even gives them the illusion of safety and comfort, saying, "You should just jump." And then they expect the angels to catch them. That is when they discovered that this is the demon making promises, and it's becomes a great deception for them. They realize it's too late, but then they'll regret it. Lot and Abraham looked in the same place, but their visions were different. And this resulted in vastly different outcomes. Lot saw everything through worldly calculations and personal comforts and interests. Abraham, however, was not concerned about the world. And whatever bring him the greatest benefits. But his eyes of faith were fixed on God's promises. Let us focus our vision on God until he says, Look around where you are to the north and the south, to the east and west. All the land that you see, I will give you and your offspring forever. Genesis 13:42. See here that God is in, and He is the one who provides. He keeps His promises. He keeps promises to those who are faithful to him. Let us hold on to God's promises towards us. So let's be like Abraham and just decide our own wants and desires and put God's will and desires first. And when we do this, we will see that God places our interests and takes care of us, and it will exceed far more than what we can achieve on our own. God gives us more than what we ask or desire. In the past, Lot had to plead with the people and children of Sodom for the right to reside there because he did not own the land. Lot was considered an outsider. In contrast, Abraham did not ask for anything. Yet the entire land was given to him, including the green pastures that Lot shared. The Lord spoke to Abraham, when you look to the east, west, south, and north, these directional words sound right. Reminding us of the death of Christ's love. This surpasses all understanding. Most of Canaan was covered by mountains. Yet we see it is enough to make the heart of faithful Abraham rejoice. Similarly, we may not yet fully comprehend God's love that He has reserved for us in Christ. But our spiritual journey progresses. Our visions broaden. We realize that even the breath, air we breathe, is worthy of gratefulness. For brothers and sisters, we should keep our focus on God's promise, not looking at our circumstances or the outside world. No, conclusion of the first point, different different results. Brothers and sisters, many times we find it difficult to see what the Lord wants to see. Why is that? It is because our eyes are fixed on. We might even say to God, solve this. Otherwise, I have a hard time trusting you. Many people are concerned with fulfilling their own dreams through their hard work. They think once I made a lot of money, I enjoyed the riches of life. Then I will go and evangelize for the world. It is hard not to be pulled away by the world. If someone harbors these mindsets. Don't look down at the pull, tug, and power of the world over us. For this reason, we must earnestly seek the Lord's eyes daily, heed his calling, consider his needs, and focus on what he wants us to see. And put our trust in him. Hebrews 10:37 said, "For just a little while, the one who is coming will come and will not delay." Before his return, the number of those saved will be filled. When we look into the fields, what do we see? And we see the soul still trapped in sin? Or do we see our eyes remain fixed on the world? We desire a nice big house, luxury car, or other benefits. Have interviewed success gospel named Joel Osteen, and he persists in preaching the prosperity gospel. He has a lot of followers, and because they're focused on the world, they follow in Lot's footsteps. What are in the fields when we look towards them? They are ripe for harvest. When we see the people and the needy in these fields, Jesus will begin to give us a heart for them. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work." Don't you have a saying, "It is still 4 months until harvest"? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. John 4, 34 to 35. After clarifying his priorities, Jesus began to correct his disciples' view of evangelism. He helped them recognize the urgency of the gospel. He says, "Do you think it's still 4 months till harvest?" A lot of people believe, as the disciples thought, that it is not their time. It's not time yet for evangelism. Spiritual numbness is the most dreadful condition for any Christian. Especially because they don't feel that numbness. And coldness. In Hebrews, it's what should someone we go to meet Jesus? We come. Why did the Samaritan woman? When she believed, decided to spread the gospel. Because Jesus satisfied her heart. It's because she had experienced emptiness through fleeting passions with other humans. And she had to live a life of seclusion because of that. And when she heard Jesus speak, her heart was fully satisfied by him. And she wanted to pass this on to the people around her. She asked them to go listen to him and witness that they would also find peace and fulfillment in their hearts. Everyone in the world needs a gospel. Today's world, marriages, careers, because Jesus wanted his disciples to prioritize sharing the gospel. He told them to look, see the fields and the needs. When someone sees and puts their sights on something, they will place their burden on it. Lot fell into trouble because he put his eyes on the riches of the world. And Gomorrah was considered luxury and wealthy place. However, like Lot. Like Abraham. He said, are we need to look everywhere. friend today when I go visit some churches that they were once very prominent and full of people are now empty. We see that followers are dwindling too. If we care about Jesus cares about and remain and see the fields, we'll see many lost souls. Souls that the Lord cares about. And this can motivate us to evangelize as He will place the burden on our souls. The laborers are few, yet the harvest is plenteous. Look around us in the into the fields, then we will understand the significance. Have you ever seen the wheat that is not ripe yet? There's an example of people who have eaten wheat that is not ripe. When the harvest is ready, there is a great sense of urgency. People who harvest have to wait till the harvest, but we know that the gospel harvest is happening right now. When the harvest comes, it must be immediate. Otherwise, it will fall to the ground. We have examples in our church where people plant lychee and they would need to go get it very soon. Otherwise, animals will get it or it will fall to the ground and get wasted. We must put our focus on Christ and also his great mission for our church and for our lives. We want to hear the Lord say to us one day, "Come into my presence, you faithful and good servant." Our hearts are focused on the things of the world, and we will not feel the urgency for the gospel. We'll reap according to what we sow. So according to the spirit, not according to the flesh. Lord, we thank you for your word and for giving us a vision. Lord, we are unworthy, but thank you for choosing us. God, we ask you to give us a sense of urgency for the needs and for the gospel around us. We pray that your word would touch our hearts, that they would come, people would come to know and believe in you. We pray that you would be Lord over our lives. Pray for grace for the brothers and sisters in the church. Pray this in Christ's name, amen.